great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. On the show today, we'll talk about some of the extreme winter weather we've experienced in the last month. Steve Ackerman with us now. He's professor in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. And, of course, he's also vice chancellor for research and grad education at UW. 1145 John Martin, also a professor at UW-Madison, will join us as well to talk weather with you, and we're looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to talking with Kate Archer-Kent. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Larry. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Good to see your smiling face as well for our winter member drive. We're in the last day, aren't we?
We sure are. The waning hours here.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you've been thinking about it, now would be a good time to act. Your contribution keeps the Larry Mueller Show and the rest of WPR going strong. $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift and any amount makes a big difference because the largest share of funding for our programs comes from people just like you. So donate now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, you know, things are just moving along swimmingly. We heard from 46 new and returning members last hour, and you know, that is just great to have dozens of new and returning members. Thank you for those gifts. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000. And this generous match is from current members, including a member in Glendale. And it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love. Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know this well, Larry, that public radio has a unique funding model. It's a two-way street that creates this high-quality service. And here's how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs like the Larry Mueller Show that are accountable only to you.
It's kind of an amazing system, actually. You get programs worth listening to, precisely because you step up and support them. So make your contribution for independent news, information, and music right now. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. How do you do that? Well, just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your home. It's your radio station, the one that wakes you up in the morning, rides with you on your commute, keeps you company during the day.
And the beauty of WPR is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs you enjoy. Many first-time donors give $100, maybe they give $10 a month. You pick the amount that's right for you.
And it's your gift along with donations from other listeners. They add up to WPR's largest source of funding. Join the team right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the last day of our winter member drive, and we have an exciting drawing. You'll be entered to win $500 to spend at your favorite sporting goods store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you love. Upgrade your outerwear or try a new winter hobby. You'll have five chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Sporting Goods Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer-Kent. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong, and your contribution, I don't care if it's $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You know, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the programs and stories that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
By the way, our dollar-for-dollar match full on, in effect. There's still room for your gift to be matched. Give now. Take advantage of it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
As an added bonus for supporting the program you love, you'll be entered in an exciting drawing. Five lucky people will win $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. I know Kate was looking for a new ice auger, but for ice fishing, but she's not eligible and neither am I. You are, though. No contribution is necessary. CWPR.org/drawing for details, but better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And of course, sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
Lynn in Oconomowoc says, I love WPR. You're my lifeline. I couldn't live without you. And Christopher in West Allis says, we feel the need to show our appreciation for the, encyclopedic knowledge of Larry Mueller and his guest. Well, a guest works for sure. I'll tell you what, your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. I hope you'll go to WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Kate, come back and see us again.
Will do.
All right. In the meantime, Steve Ackerman. I'm looking at his smiling face right now. He's back with us to talk about weather. And certainly, if you have questions about the weather or... if you'd like to just call and complain about it, you can do that too. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Steve Ackerman, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, and I'm going to warn you that if the readers start to complain about the weather, I am going to join them. If you want, you'll have to wait till John to get on before you get some enthusiastic remarks about this winter.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was out shoveling this morning, and I noted that on the one side of my driveway, the snow comes up to my shoulder. I've got it piled up to my shoulder. And that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, I made a terrible forecast last night because I was looking out my window in the back of the house. And there was just a dusting of snow. And I thought, oh, I'll just do it in the morning before I get to work. And yeah, it was like 2 or 3 inches.
It was added on to all that. And the temperatures, it seems like we're finally out of a stretch of below zero temperatures, at least some parts of the state. And on your blog, you wrote about a memorable event with chilly temps. And it was the 1967 Ice Bowl.
Yeah, that was another one of those examples of really cold weather. And like the hundreds of people who said they were there and really weren't, I was one of those people that was there at the early age of preteens, sitting in that very cold weather. The temperatures were, you know, in the minus teens, minus 12 to minus 14 degrees, and wind chills were, you know, almost minus 40 below zero. I mean, just brutal weather. Were you there, Larry?
No, I watched it on TV.
You know, and I think it's given Wisconsin a bad name with regard to weather, because every, you know, Super Bowl, they show imagery from that, you know, and I think people get in their mind, wow, this is what Wisconsin's like. And the answer is not always.
No, not always. Although I will have to say, I've got a good friend who lives in northern Wisconsin, Roger Korfmacher, and he sent me on Facebook, sent a photo of his thermometer registering 40 below zero. This was a week or two ago.
So, it does happen, but I'm about to enter the complaining stage of this winter.
Well, why don't we talk about Alberta Clippers? Pat in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Pat.
Hi. We used to hear about the Alberta Clipper in the winter, and I was just wondering why that term isn't used anymore.
You know, it still is used. It's just we really haven't had one yet. And what an Alberta Clipper is, it's one of these winter storms, these mid-latitude cyclones that originates in Alberta, Canada, and then just quickly skirts along the border between the U.S. and Canada and drops some snow and cold weather. The cold weather that we've been getting and the snowfall we've been getting has been coming more from the south-southwest, oftentimes from what we call a panhandle hooker. So it's occurring down the panhandles of Oklahoma. And they tend to bring up more moisture because they pull stuff up from the Gulf of Mexico, whereas these Alberta Clippers are really grabbing their moisture from Canada, and there's just not a lot up there. So they generally don't have a lot of snowfall.
Yeah, so Alberta, Canada, that's where that Alberta Clipper name comes from, I assume.
Yeah. And then it's moving fast, which is why they call it a clipper.
So there you go, Pat. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Tom in Nelson, Wisconsin. Hi, Tom.
Got to me right away. Can you explain how to use the National Weather Service radar in the cloud on this show?
Yeah, without visuals, huh?
I mean, what do the numbers mean along the bottom? I can never figure that out. Minus 33, minus 10, 10, 13, 18, and then in different colors there. It goes from purple.
Yeah. So the minus numbers are what we call, well, they're decibels. And so they're related to the amount of energy that the radar is being reflected back to the radar site by the precipitation. What I typically look at, and there's a nice National Weather Service app for smartphones where they'll, put all of those different radars together. And what I tend to look for is, you know, where it's green, it's kind of just regular type of, you know, good rain. Where it's yellows and reds is where it's raining heavily. And then the blues are representing where the snow is. And if it's a light blue, it's a very light snow. And if it's a dark blue, then it's a heavier snow. So I tend to not even look at the DBZs anymore, but rather go right to the color code.
Makes sense. Find a color code anywhere. Okay, thanks.
All right. Oh, he said he couldn't find the color code anywhere?
Usually it's on the bottom or on the side. And I guess it depends.
There's one on the bottom, but all it has is the numbers underneath it. That's why I didn't know what those meant, how to read it.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah, greens are rain. And the darker the green, the heavier. The yellow and the red are really heavy rain. And the purple is, you know, kind of thunderstorm rain where it's just, you know, raining cats and dogs. And then the blue colors are snow. And again, the intensity of the blue is related to the intensity of the snowfall. And then there's also, and I don't think, I'm looking now, yeah, it's kind of hard to see, but there's also a pink. And that pink is usually freezing, well, it is freezing rain. And so that's the stuff you really want to stay away from.
Tom, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, we're in the last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. I'm Larry Mueller. Kate Archer-Kent coming back to join me, and she's here to help me talk about you, listeners. Listener support. It's the largest piece of our funding here. So your gift right now, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Give now, WPR.org, or phone 888-202-2552. Are we making any progress on the dollar?
Making good progress, yeah. We have this dollar-for-dollar match. There, I must add, still $3,000 of match money on the table right now, but we've taken off a sizable chunk in this time. It's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Glendale, is going to double every dollar you give. And it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whatever your reason is for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and this program, that's also should be a reason for giving. Maybe WPR is your source for in-depth news or interesting talk about a variety of topics like the weather. Maybe you love the weekend shows.
So just ask yourself, why am I listening now? And then give for that very reason at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, because your support, it's what makes WPR happen.
You've made the decision, I hope, right now to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You might be looking for the best way to make your gift. The answer, maybe become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or maybe to your credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
That's right. A sustaining gift is a powerful way of donating because it provides this reliable funding for the programs you count on. You make easy-to-pay monthly gift, and those donations, they add up to have a huge impact for WPR. So choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month, and become a sustainer now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive supports the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt. This super comfy heather gray t-shirt features Wisconsin state symbols in the night sky.
It's the kind of t-shirt you want to wear just about all the time, going to the store, walking the dog, and expect people to make comments, because it's lovely.
I would wear my new WPR t-shirt to the dog park to enjoy the Wisconsin outdoors with my two golden retrievers.
You can wear it anywhere, honestly.
Ask for yours now when you give $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer-Kent. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows. That's why your support during this drive is so important. And your gift might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month or $200 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. And right now, get in on the dollar-for-dollar match. In effect, now we have $3,000 of match money on the table from current members, including a member in Glendale. So your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 to $200. You know the drill. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now I hope you'll make the decision to support WPR financially. It's as simple as that. We're listener supported. And that means that your support is really crucial on this last day of our drive. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And that extra incentive is there for you now with our dollar-for-dollar match. In effect, we have $3,000 of that match money left to raise. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
You can support the programs you value, and you can show off your WPR pride when you ask for that 2021 WPR t-shirt. I'm getting one. What about you? Give $12 a month right now or more at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We heard from Gwen in Weyerhaeuser, who says WPR is essential to my lifelong learning. Thank you, Gwen. Natalie in Platteville says WPR was my carpool mate and is now my work from home mate. So thanks for always being there, WPR. Natalie, thank you for being there for us.
Your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Taking a look at climate and weather on the show today with our weather guy, Steve Ackerman, with us right now. John Martin will be joining us soon. You can join in 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Let's take a call. Carol in Racine, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a question, and maybe this is the same question the last gentleman asked, but two of my favorite websites are the hourly weather bar chart that shows all the different weathers and when it's going to happen, and the associated radar map that's linked to it. But that changed in December, and now when you click that link, it takes you to like 16 different kinds of radar maps, none of which show the very most useful things, which is just what you described, the green for the good weather, and it gets more red, and whatever the worse the weather is, and you can tell where it is and when it's coming. And now that just doesn't seem to be there. So where do we go?
Carol, is that a business site or the National Weather Service site,
No, I think that was an NOAA or National Weather Service site. I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the NOAA.
It changed in December. They said they were updating it. And now you go there and you get a choice of like 16 different maps, but none of them really show what the old one used to.
Yeah. So, if you could send me an email of the one you're looking at, I can help you get through that and find out the right one. It's steve@ssec.wis.edu. But even on the app that I use, there are a variety of different measurements that the radars make that typically, unless you're an expert, you're not going to look at them. But they'll tell you things about not only the intensity and the type of precipitation, but they'll tell you how fast the particles in the cloud are moving, and even give indication that there's debris from tornadoes being reflected back to the radar. So there's a lot of pieces of information in there, and they get very confusing, and some of the names don't even make sense to me. So I understand what you're struggling with. But I'm not sure where to point you in the right app to be using.
What was your email? It's
steve@ssec.wisc.edu.
There you go, Carol. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We'll get it figured out for you. Betty and Brown Deer, your turn. Hi, Betty.
Oh, great. Thank you. I've got one comment and also a question. The question is, when it's very, very cold and there's a little snow left on the driveway, it disappears. And I'm wondering if some of this snow goes directly into a gas rather than turning to a liquid.
Yep, it goes directly into a gas. So it sublimes, which is the phrase sublimation is what's used to describe going from the ice phase into the gas phase. And that's exactly what's going on. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Betty. Appreciate it. A listener sent a beautiful photo. I don't know if you can see it, Steve.
Yeah,
it's a blue, it's a evening, just I think going to be evening, and there's a string of clouds that look kind of like waves to me.
Yeah, it's an interesting photo. I hope people can see it. When I saw it as a small thing, I thought it was going to be Kelvin Helmholtz waves, that kind of thing, or maybe something from contrails. But it's a really interesting shaped cloud. I have no idea what forms it or how it formed, but it really demonstrates that the atmosphere, because most of the sky is clear, besides this one little squiggly worm type cloud, which is not the technical term, but that's what it looks like. It really demonstrates that the atmosphere, even though it looks like it's calm, is moving all the time. And I think that that's what's causing that streak of a cloud. How it got there, at first I thought it was a contrail, but it doesn't look high enough, actually, to be generated from a jet. So,
yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, Steph from Broadhead emailed asking, is the February thaw a regular measurable climatic event? And is it localized to southern Wisconsin or widespread at this latitude? Steph has heard it's due to the soil temperatures being at their winter highest point from the ground, acting as a sort of a heat sink and taking months to rebound and, you know, give up their heat. Any truth to that?
And I would say the thaw, whether it occurs in February or January or March, is a function of where people live. And it is looking at both the air temperature, but also the soil temperature. So the U.S., in addition to making temperature observations in the air, also makes them across the country in the soil. And that allows us to determine when is the soil frozen and when does it start to thaw out so that, you know, farmers can go or gardeners can go and plant their plants.
Yeah, you wonder. I was thinking back, and we probably talked about this one time, maybe a few years back, about Art Peterson, the soil scientist at UW, always worked, had something going with the cemetery officials and the funeral directors across the state to get the snow and frost depth report. And Art was always pretty accurate and sort of letting you know if there was going to be any flooding. And if that snow, if there got to be quite a bit of snow and then it got really cold, it took a lot longer for the soil to freeze. And so the moisture could kind of soak in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, that's right. If you get a lot of snow before the ground freezes, the snow acts like a blanket and insulates the ground and it takes longer to freeze. The issue, I think, with regard to flooding, which is a good point, again, to know whether or not the ground is frozen, is if you freeze the ground and then get a lot of snow, and then that snow rapidly melts, say because of rain that might come in March, then you can get a lot of flooding because the ground cannot absorb that moisture, that wetness, yeah, the water.
Peter in Madison emailed to say he's been noticing the morning sun dogs or rainbows looking at the sun. What determines the size or diameter of the arc or the circle?
Yeah, there's two common circle arcs, the 22 and the 42 degrees. So those sun dogs and the rings around the suns that you can see when you look towards the sun are generated by ice crystals in the atmosphere. And as the sunlight, which would normally be going in one direction, hits those ice crystals, it gets bent. And the direction that it gets bent into is towards your eye. And so all of a sudden you get these bright rings. And if it's the right size crystal, the color from the sun, which is white, because we're getting all colors, they'll get separated out, just like hanging a crystal in your window can
yeah.
do. And that's what drives that separation of the colors, what we call dispersion. So yeah, you'll always see them at about a 22 degrees, 42 degrees. One way you can tell that is when you see it, if you spread your hands out between your thumb and your pinky, as far as you can spread it and put your thumb on the sun, the ring will be out by your pinky. And if it's much further than that, then you're seeing a much rarer type of of a ring.
Event, yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I was thinking up until really that terrible cold streak that we had, I mean, the winter wasn't all that bad. It was actually fairly mild, I thought. It, you know, we, I guess we get that. Do we get that every winter? I think probably do.
We get some cold air coming out, not like we've had this year. So
no.
In January, you know, our temperatures were, you know, maybe close to average, maybe a little, no, actually January overall was warmer than normal. But, you know, right now, February, with just a few days left, we're like 10, 15 degrees below normal. The average February temperature in southern Wisconsin is 10 to 15 degrees below normal. And boy, that's just, you know, that's just something we're not used to.
If we could only eliminate February from the calendar.
If we could only eliminate February. Nobody has a few days, so why do we worry about it?
Oh, man. Steve Ackerman, our guest right now. John Martin will be joining us as well. It's always good to talk with him, too, as we talk weather and climate. Certainly, you can join in with your questions and comments. Or you can email us as well at ideas@WPR.org. I do want to remind you, though, that this is the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Kate Archer-Kent back to join us, and she's here to tell you that your gift of any amount makes a big difference.
That is right, Larry. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and it means that your support funds the Larry Mueller Show, the morning show, I'll add that, as well as all the other WPR programs you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, our dollar for dollar match still in effect. I think we've got $800-$900 left to go. It's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Glendale, are doubling every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, these are such great weather conversations and with such wonderful questions, even a squiggly cloud at sunset. You know, you never know what you're going to learn on the Larry Mueller Show. We continue learning together, talking with longtime experts in these subject areas like the weather. These are the conversations that you get from the Larry Mueller Show and the Ideas Network. And that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. And I think WPR is one place where that's true every single day. You might consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
It is hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a whole lot of the news, the talk, the music possible, and that works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Lance from Madison.
And I'm Cheryl.
When did we become sustaining members? Cheryl, I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a while. You do
I think
finances.
Maybe it was about the same time that I moved here. So we've probably been sustaining members of WPR for about 10 years. We had each supported public radio in our respective states. And when I was an Iowa resident, I supported Iowa Public Radio and Lance supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And so I think when I moved here to Wisconsin, to Madison, we just pooled our efforts and decided to become sustaining members because we realized what a big part of our everyday life WPR had become and felt morally obligated to help support the programming.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
I think that's great advice. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller with Kate Archer-Kent. Your support during our drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible, and your gift could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And if you've already renewed or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given yet, you can join the thousands of other WPR members by donating right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. There is still $572 of match money. There's room for your gift to be matched. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you'll be entered into, and I think it's an exciting drawing. Five lucky people will receive $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And nice to know that sustainers making those ongoing monthly gifts are automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's super easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
And you know, Kate, people say nice things about this show sometimes.
I bet you get a little bit of that, Larry. Just a little. Do you want me to say? I can say it. Sandra in Hayward says, I love learning new things and especially enjoy Larry Mueller's Garden Talk. Maria in Maguanago says, I love Larry, who can converse on so many topics, and I love his guest, Scott Craven. So kudos to you, Larry, in all of these fabulous conversations.
Well, I really appreciate the comments. Sandra, Maria, thank you so much. Your gift right now is really powerful. It makes a big difference. Go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at weather and climate today with our weather guys, Steve Ackerman, Vice Chancellor for Research and Graduate Education at UW-Madison, also a professor in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences, as is John Martin, professor, former chair of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW, and joining us right now on the show. Questions for these guys, give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. John Martin, I'll say welcome to you. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's good to be here.
You know, early in the show, I got an email question, and I held off on it because I knew that you were the one to answer this question.
Oh, no.
And it comes from Janine and Frank, emailed wondering, how does the Farmer's Almanac arrive at their predictions? Is there any science behind it?
Janine and Frank, have you ever rolled the dice for, you know, playing craps or something like that? That's what they do. They roll the dice, they mix in some chicken bones, and they do some other stuff. I don't know what else they do, but it's totally unscientific. And then they no, there's no science at all behind the almanac's forecasts. In fact, I was a victim of that for many years as a boy, because I love the winter. I still love it now, but I used to just get so angry. I'd buy that thing the first week it was out, and I'd bring it home to my dad and say, look, Dad, we're getting a big snowstorm at Christmas time. We're getting a big one 10 days later. And he would kind of encourage my enthusiasm and not temper my disappointment and try to temper my disappointment as the weeks rolled by and the non-scientific journal was convincingly demonstrated to be foolish. So no, there's no science there.
John, I was sure you
forecaster, the almanac or Punxsutawney Phil.
You know, I think if you put the fate of forecasting the weather into the hands of a large squirrel, you're making an enormous mistake. It has no mental capacity at all to even conceive of what's going on outside, nor does it know what a shadow is. So it's utterly crazy, but I'm glad people have fun with it. And I know that Larry loves to elicit my rant a couple of times a year, actually, and I don't mind obliging.
Well, I saw that email question come up, and I thought, oh, I got to wait for John for that one.
Oh, I'm glad, man. Well, today is the median day, or the average day of our last 0-degree overnight low. So there's something about winter weather that we can throw in on top of that hilarity. So we're maybe climbing out of the winter starting today.
Well, I hope so. What's the, you guys had a column in the paper, in the Wisconsin State Journal, I think today or yet, was it today? It was today, about the latest that we get these, you know, terrible weather conditions. And, you know, what's the latest? Like, we get a real hard freezing temperatures and so forth. And you said sometime in March, I think it was.
Yeah, the latest one ever in Madison was April 2nd, 2003, I think it was, where we were 0 degrees that morning. So that's the latest 0-degree reading for an overnight low. So it can extend for a long time. But in the last 20 years, the latest one has been March 10th. So we're nearly there. So we're in pretty good state. Well, the last 15 years or so. So we're in pretty good stead.
You know, I was looking at emails as we're talking about cold weather. And at the end of January, I had emailed Ed Hopkins, who's the assistant state climatologist, and asked him if we ever had a winter where it didn't get below zero.
Oh, so yeah.
Then we were thinking about, oh, my goodness, we might have a really warm winter. That has certainly changed.
Yeah, it has.
Well, what did he tell you, by the way?
He said no, that we had always had something out, right?
That's interesting. I would not have known that off the top of my head. I'm glad to know it now. And the other thing that's interesting is we're almost perfectly at normal for snowfall through today. And yet, look at the snowbanks. When's the last time we saw snowbanks as extensive as we have this year? It's just because the timing's been perfect. The snow has fallen and it's never warmed up. And that's all it takes to make 40 inches of snow look like, you know, the tundra. So pretty unbelievable.
So TK from Green Bay emailed to say that they have skied over a dozen Birkebeiner ski events over the last several decades. But the year 1994 was most memorable. They remember skiing the pre-Birke race that year, which occurred 2 weeks before the popular Birke weekend. And that day, the ambient air temperature was minus 30. The wind chill was below minus 50. Most of them sat in their cars with their poles attached and jumped out of their vehicles and swiftly installed their skis and took off. 2 weeks later, at the end of the race, the bank in downtown Hayward was 52 degrees above.
Oh, my God.
So it went to minus 30 to plus 54 in a couple of weeks.
That's the nature of this time of year. It can certainly do that. Remember March of, 2012? We had 4 days over 80 degrees, and the latest of those four was March 19th. It wasn't like the 30th of March. It was in the middle of the month. Unbelievable.
Lisa in Whitefish Bay emailed a photo and is wondering what causes the clouds to form a basket weave pattern like this. And that's what it kind of looks like. So she took it at around 10 p.m. in Whitefish Bay, end of January, beginning of February, looking at the wolf moon over Lake Michigan to the east. And I don't know, you guys should... Can you see the photo? It's quite a shot.
I cannot see the photo, unfortunately.
It does look a bit like a basket weave.
Huh. Is it sort of, you know, so the thing that comes to my mind, because I've seen this in the past, is that that'll generate that is contrails. So these clouds that come out of jets the upper atmosphere, it's really moist because of the jets going in different ways. You can get you know, a grid-like pattern. But generally, they'll be spread out, so you won't have a very a large number of those, at least not the situations that I've seen. And you have to be near the flight track as well.
So these are, there's about seven trails in a row and then crosshatched across those seven trails. And it looks like a pretty broad part of the sky covered. It's really interesting. Well, maybe you'll have a chance to, maybe I'll have a chance to look at it on our Slack as we move along through the show. I'm wondering about ice. We'll take a look when we have our news break. I'm wondering about the ice cover. What's it looking like on the Great Lakes?
You know, that was another situation where prior to this outbreak of really cold air, it was going to look like we had we were going to have a small amount of ice on the Great Lakes. You know, back prior to this cold air outbreak, the ice coverage on the Great Lakes was like 23% or maybe 27%, where on average, it's typically 50% at that time of the year. But boy, when that cold air outbreak came over us and then stayed around, the percentage of ice coverage on those lakes has been rapidly increasing. And I'm pretty sure we are pretty close to, or not, if not more than the normal ice coverage on the Great Lakes.
Steve Ackerman and John Martin, our guests today as we talk weather with them. But Kate Archer Kent comes by every so often, too, during the show. And here she is again to talk about our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Your gift, any amount, makes a huge difference.
That's right, Larry. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. It means that your support funds The Larry Mueller Show, as well as all the other WPR shows you count on. I want to also say a huge thank you to everyone who joined in on the match. We made the match last hour, Larry, so that is really great. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I hope you'll contribute because you enjoy the programs. This program, for example, I think we have a lot of fun. You know, the last Monday of every month, John Martin and Steve Ackerman come by and talk about weather and climate, answer your questions. We always get lots of questions. We usually get some great photos, as we have today as well. And I think it's kind of the story of the program and a lot, and the programs that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. How's your life enriched by these programs? How is it unique to public radio? We're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes on this last day of the drive and make your gift.
Well, you know, you always learn something new on the Larry Mueller Show, and especially these wonderful calls and emails that Larry fields. And, you know, today I was crestfallen to have the downfall of the Farmer's Almanac and the Groundhog all in the same breath. But but this too shall pass. But, you know, it's just one of those things you learn on the Larry Mueller Show. And so make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month, whatever, anything in between and above. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
We're moving right along this hour. We've heard from 37 people called in, emailed, made a pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now it is your turn at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
$10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 33 cents a day. I think that's a pretty good value.
It
you
is.
Can make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you will get a lot in return. And you know what? We're coming up to the top of the hour. This is the last day of our drive. Kate and I really appreciate all the contributions. If you haven't given yet, I hope you'll do it now. Our guests will be back right after this look at the news. But in the meantime, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. We would really appreciate it. I'm Larry Mueller with Kate Archer Kent for the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at weather and climate on the show today. Larry Mueller here. My guests, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, are weather guys. They come by every month, the last Monday of the month, to talk weather with you and with me. And we've been talking about ice cover, cold temperatures, snowfall. What weather questions are on your mind? How much snow has your area gotten? Join in. Give a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. A couple of interesting emails. Carol from Central Wisconsin called, and oh, actually this is a call, but left a message, wondering about an air quality alert that was issued across several counties this past weekend. What was the source of the particulate matter, she's wondering, causing those issues?
Yeah, you know, I had noticed that too in Madison down here. I think it was on Saturday that it came up. And I think there were two things correlated to it. One is there was fog out there. The second was because we've had such cold air early in the mornings in particular, we get these surface inversions set up. And so people who are using their wood-burning stoves to heat their homes, they're generating out particles, and that might have been just enough to kick it over into the EPA's flag to send out an alert.
That makes sense. Ken from Little Chute emailed, several local Green Bay TV weather persons now show the different storm predictions based on, well, let's see, a whole bunch of things. CFS, I think it is, or GFS, NAM, and ECMWF models. What are the differences among those models, and do the weather guys prefer one over the other?
All of those forecast models have their own particular computer codes that handle all of the things that are both central to the forecast model and also some of the more highly detailed and quite specific ways in which clouds are represented, how radiation is done in the clouds, and so on. They're all a little bit different in those things. They also all have their own different way of initializing, taking real observations and making those observations into the initial conditions for running the model forward. So all of that stuff is a little bit different from each of those models. And they all have strengths and weaknesses. The GFS, the Global Forecast System from NSEP, is a pretty good forecast model. I think it probably runs into some issues when it turns into hurricane season and it's used as a hurricane forecast model. It's not as good as the ECMWF for that. And the ECMWF is European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecasting. That's in England. And then the what was the other one you mentioned?
NAM? Oh,
the North American model is one of the older versions of NSEP's forecasting suite of models. And so that one is probably not as good in most instances as the Global Forecast System model, the GFS. But they all have different strengths and weaknesses. And I think it actually becomes a bit of a problem for the public who is not particularly told which what are the strengths and weaknesses of these models to actually be given all these three different pieces of information. I don't think there's any value in doing so. I think it should be the professional's obligation to kind of say, my experience and my judgment leads me to conclude that today or for this week, this simulation and this forecast looks like the best one. So anyway, there are some little details that are different about each of them.
Philomena sent us some photos, and she wonders I don't know if you guys can see those photos, but she's wondering, they're beautiful photos, one with an eagle and one with a beautiful tree that looked completely, maybe a fog ice covered. Anyway, she wants to know the difference between rim frost versus hoarfrost versus freezing fog ice.
So I was able to see those photos. The freezing fog ice is very much similar to the rime ice. And this is where you'll have a fog with tiny water droplets in it, even though it's below freezing. So you can have temperatures that are below freezing and still have water droplets in existence. But if they run into an object like a tree branch or something like that, which is what we're seeing in the photos, it'll instantly freeze and form these beautiful patterns. The hoarfrost is a little bit essentially the opposite of what we talked about earlier with sublimation, where the ice goes right into the vapor phase. In the hoarfrost, again, that could generate very intricate patterns of ice. And it is going from the vapor phase of the water that is in the atmosphere and depositing onto an object that's below freezing and forming these crystalline structures again. But they're beautiful pictures. I mean, when you get ice-covered objects, in many regards, it's pretty, unless it gets too heavy, and then that'll bring the trees down potentially.
And I don't know if you had a chance over the newsbreaker, if you were able to see the photo that email that Lisa sent from Whitefish Bay about the kind of basket weave pattern.
That's a fantastic photo. And I highly encourage the viewers to go look at it. In one sense, we have these things called undulating altocumulus. And that often gives this wavy pattern. And you're sort of seeing that in the picture, but then between that, you have this just clear air where the moon or the sun is coming through. Dynamically, I could think about how that would happen, but boy, is that really weird patterns. What it reminds me of is a story where I happened to be driving to work one day many years ago and passed a bus stop, and there were 10 people there, and only one person was looking up at the sky. And it turned out to be John. And when I looked up, it was like a fantastic cloud pattern. And so you always got to look up. You shouldn't just be looking down no matter where you are.
That's right. Plus, you look despondent looking down. You look glorious looking up.
Right. There you go. Well, let's go to Myron in Marquette County next. Hi, Myron.
Hello, guys. I don't know, but my son was born March 1st, 1962, and we had 29 degrees below zero on that morning.
Oh, in Marquette County?
No, that was in Racine County. Now, I'll tell you what I'm confirming this with. I got a weather calendar in the year 2000 from Channel 3, and that's what they've got recorded is minus 29.
Wow.
Oh, man.
What day was that?
March 1st, 1962.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that off the top of my head. I know that the spring of 62 was cold around here. I remember hearing about this.
Yeah. All right.
So that's brutal.
That's brutal. Thanks, Myron. Appreciate it. Wow.
I assume your car got started and you were able to make it to have your son delivered. Trouble.
Oh, thanks, Myron. Drew in Lake Mills, your turn. Hi, Drew.
Yes, good afternoon, Larry, and the weather guest with a New England accent. Hey, I've got a question with regards to the amount of sunny days versus overcast days, like here in the wintertime of this year compared to previous years. My question is related to, because when it's sunny out and we go outside, I have my office faces to the south. When the sun comes in, I have to close my drapes. You can see my. So this year, I've only had to close my drapes. Today I'd have to close my drapes. See, but today I don't have to because there's no glare. So can you comment the amount of sun we've had this winter compared to previous winters?
Okay, so Drew's saying that his, you know, he doesn't have to close his curtains as often because there's not as much sun. I'm wondering if you could comment on sunny days versus cloudy days.
Boy, I haven't kept track. My sense has been it hasn't been abnormal in one way or the other, but it's purely anecdotal. I know there's probably a record on the Weather Service webpage for various cities around the state for number of hours of sunlight, you know, measured with instruments, but I don't know what the numbers actually are. So I wonder what is true about that right now. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I don't know if you guys have any relatives in Texas. I've got one relative in Texas. I tell you what, that problems with the water and the electricity caused by that storm and cold weather, how abnormal is it for Texas to see something like that?
It's really abnormal. I think there have been three since 1989 that were about as cold as this, 89, maybe 2011, and then this current one in 2021. And a beautiful graphic was just put out by, I think it was the National Center for Environmental Prediction, but I don't know exactly if I'm right about that, that illustrated how deeply below normal the temperature was and how pervasive and how long it was across the state of Texas. And this recent event far exceeded the ones that I mentioned before, 2011 and 1989. So this was a really exceptional, brutal cold wave for the state of Texas. And hopefully people are beginning to recover. I guess it was almost 60 or maybe just above 60 yesterday in Austin. So things are on the path to recovery. But, you know, what a tremendous cold wave that was. Pretty unbelievable.
And the intricacies of the billing system has been really awful. Somebody, you know, they were talking on the news about somebody having a $200 a month normal bill, and this month, the latest bill they got was for $10,000.
Unreal, huh?
From $200 to $10,000. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, and we're seeing the cold across a lot of the country. I mean, most of the country has snow on it, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, 50% of the country, I mean, most of the country had snow on it a couple of days ago, except for maybe the far southeast, from what I saw. And even up here, I mean, Madison, the southern Wisconsin is, it's February, departure from mean for its February temperature is, you know, 14 degrees below the mean. And Iowa is like 18 degrees below the mean. I mean, it's just a broad outbreak of cold air that's just sitting around. And as John says, you know, we're in end of February. The sun is coming up. It's staying longer in the sky. So things are going to get warmed up.
Well, let's hope so. Grant wants to know what the what you guys have as a favorite weather app for an Apple iOS for iPhone and iPad.
You know, I use the one from the NOAA weather app. I'm looking at what the name is right now. The reason why I like that one is I primarily go there for the radar. But you can also then go deeper and look at what the temperature is and what the forecast is for different regions on the map by tapping certain areas in the map. So that's the one that I go for. It's I don't know the name of it, unfortunately, but it's the NOAA Weather Radar, I think. It looks like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. John, I don't really use one. I go to our department webpage, which has lots of great resources. Our computer person Pete Pokrant's been a master at keeping lots of really good things available, and that's at aos.wisc.edu. It's really easy to use, and it's got a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you what.
And it's open to the public too. So.
Yeah.
So right. What is it again?
AOS.wisc.edu.
All right. Well, I tell you what, it's always a pleasure to have you guys come by and talk about weather. You know, the next time you come by, it's going to be the end of March. And will we be going out like a lion or a lamb?
I think a lamb. I think it's going to be a nice transition. I hope I'm right. And Larry, by that time, my new biography of Reggie Sutcliffe will be available for sale. It's called Reginald Sutcliffe and the Invention of Modern Weather System Science. It's published on March 15th.
Well,
Purdue University Press.
We will let you plug that massively on our next visit.
Great.
John Martin and Steve Ackerman, our guests, our weather guys. Always great to have them come by and talk about weather. And I always look forward to seeing Kate Archer Kent's smiling face. She's got a big grin this morning. Your contribution keeps this program and WPR going strong. $10 a month, $100 a month. Every gift and any amount makes a big difference because the largest share of funding for our programs comes from people like you. So I hope you'll donate right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Kate, you're smiling because...
I'm smiling because we're going to go out like a lamb in March, and I just appreciate knowing that. I'm holding you to it because I heard it here on the Larry Mueller Show.
There we go.
But I want to also say that we've heard from 7 donors this hour. Thank you to everyone who gave. Our goal is to get 20 gifts in the door by 1 o'clock. This goal is set up to make sure that we'll be in good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show in the months to come.
Well, let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time, and let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, so many great regulars on the Larry Mueller Show. Too many to name. We got Scott Craven, Chad Spite, happy to speculate. Scott is on wildlife sightings. The weather guys we just heard from, John Martin, Steve Ackerman. The bird guy, Bill Volkert. Larry, I'm sure you could name more that are always regulars here on your show.
And it's wonderful to have people like Steve Ackerman, John Martin come by. And they cover topics that are near and dear to your heart. They give you advice and ideas. And because you've come to trust and appreciate people like John and Steve, I hope you'll support the program with your dollars. It's easy to give. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we have a beautiful new t-shirt this year. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. Heather Gray Tea features Wisconsin state symbols in the night sky. We've been talking about the sky too this hour. Show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR t-shirt today. Give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every day. You know how important it is to you, and you want it to be there for the next generation.
Indeed. Your gift today is a building block for a stable future, supporting the quality news, the information, the music, and the entertainment that enriches your life today and, you know, tomorrow, day in and day out.
Invest in quality programs for yourself and for the upcoming generation. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given before and you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that is a sign. That is a sign that it is time to donate. So when you spend that much time with WPR, it means it's important to you.
And you're important to us because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial support from people like you, people who care about independent news, conversation, and music. Your gift may be $100 or could be $10 a month. Whatever amount feels right to you really makes a difference. Go now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I'm Christine from Mount Horeb.
And I'm Naya from Mount Horeb.
I've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio since I started college here at the UW, and that was about 25 years ago.
I started listening to it pretty much at birth. It was on all the time at my house, and it's become a really integral part of my day.
WPR is such an important part of my life, and I realized I should become a member and donate just to make sure that WPR stays vibrant and has secure funding to continue on for myself and for my children as well.
Generations have grown up with us, and with your help now, many more can too. Go to WPR.org and click Donate.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our programs, and that's why your support during our drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount. And is it really hard to give?
It is, and it's easy to give. Takes just a few minutes of your time, and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
That donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and give as generously as you can.
It's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are just part of our routine, right? Like a cup of coffee or your favorite snack.
So think about the news, the information, and inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day, 30 bucks a month, or just maybe that's just the right amount for you. Sign up now at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
And we ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 or more a month.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy. And we will be keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. Last day of the drive, last chance to contribute. Give now whatever amount feels right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we need 10 more pledges to come in here to stay on track. 10 more. We're making really great progress. You might be wondering, how much should I give? It's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs. Programs that will keep you informed and entertained all year long.
So make your gift right now. It's the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I do want to say a big thanks to you if you've contributed. If you haven't, I hope you'll do it quickly. But we appreciate it. Kate and I both love doing our shows, and we love hearing from you during the shows.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for, thanks so much for your support. If you haven't given yet, do it now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. I'm Larry Mueller with Kate Archer Kent for the Ideas Network.